In a wait no longer, an after show has finally arrived. I'm your host, Joseph, and I want to apologize for being really late for this after show. Usually I put out the after shows at around like, a Friday or a Sunday, depending on how much time I have in between because, you know, work and life obligations happen. But this one got past me, so my apologies. But I hope the Ben Starr interview that you'll be hearing within the next week makes up for it. Because let me tell you guys something. Ben Starr is a goddamn treasure. And we need to make ourselves keenly aware of that. As you'll hear in the interview, I may be replaced. Next week might just be the Trophy Room starring Ben Starr and Kyle Stevenson. Because they have an instant rapport, a bromance that has just blossomed. And I was just sitting back like an old man, not understanding any of the references that they're tossing at each other. And am I a little jealous? No, because you know what? I want that broship. If I was there to see that broship blossom, I'm just lucky to be there, you know? That said, yeah, a lot of things have happened this week, and a lot of things are happening behind the scenes as we transition into the summer months, which means we have the PlayStation Showcase, which we are streaming live on YouTube. Then we're going to do our recap episode of the PlayStation Showcase that will happen live as well. So a little news flash, a little update for you. Not only are we reacting live to the PlayStation Showcase, on Wednesday the 24th, depending on when you're listening to it, it already happened, but we are also recording the Trophy Room proper live the same day at 8 p.m. EDT time. So that said, you're getting a lot of Trophy Room this week, and we've been doing our darndest to get it to you the best way we know how. So I'm super jazzed about this week. I'm so excited for the PlayStation Showcase. It's literally been on the top of mind. I'm just so eager to celebrate games again, you know? We often kind of get lost in the sauce when recording or reporting game stuff, and it's just really awesome to finally be there with everybody celebrating the unknowns. And it's really awesome to see that for the most part, your showcase hasn't been overtly leaked or spoiled, but I'm going to jinx that because I'm going to go on Twitter and the snitch is going to be snitching as they often do because they need attention and validation. But that said, with all that out of the way, yeah, man, video games, they're happening. I wanted to talk to y'all about something that's happened on the gaming verse since this is a after show with just me, you, and, you know, this brick wall you built between us. A lot of the chatter in our Discord about certain things. And so I just want to tackle them first and foremost. One of the things that I saw on our Discord is we were discussing what's been going around in the Xbox community as of late. You know, onlookers to a car crash is what the vibe I was getting, right? Like, what's going over there? What's happening? There are some amazing creators on the Xbox side that I've, you know, partnered with that we've had on the show, and they're seemingly all over the place because we don't know what the vibe is at the moment. So, for example, our friends over at Xbox Era, I'm going to read the tweet here. Xbox Era co-founder Nick Baquette, sorry, Nick, if I fucked up your last name, he's convinced that no gaming outlets want to give Starfield high scores. He argues other sites have already decided to give Starfield a 7 to 8.5 reviews in order to generate traffic to drag the Xbox brand down. Now, the Xbox Era, they're good folks. I know a lot of them, Nick including, who are really awesome people, really kind, and have been on their show, and they've done nothing but be generous with their time, and just being really awesome folks. That said, I disagree with a lot of what they're saying here, and I disagree with one of their premises that there is an inherent bias against Xbox and pro to PlayStation in the review process. And, you know, they argue that, well, reviewers are inherently biased towards PlayStation because, you know, PlayStation, when you're in PR, you know, they have more PlayStation codes than Xbox. So, for example, Jedi Survivor came out. There were more PlayStation 5 codes than Xbox codes and PC codes, right? And they say, and they point that out, that just the fact that they're handing it out to more PlayStation people than Xbox people is a correlation that there's bias because the people that are wanting the thing are on PlayStation. Now, as I'm saying that out loud, to be frank, it doesn't make a lot of sense. You know, it's kind of like what Phil Spencer said a few weeks ago. They lost a generation to lose. There are more PlayStation 5s on the market than Xboxes. So ergo, the market dictates that if, you know, there's more of console A than console B, obviously there's going to be more codes for console A than console B. Is there an inherent bias behind that? No, because I don't think most people really give a shit about the console that they're playing the game on. They want to play the game to get the review out for that piece of thing. As a person that hands out review codes, used to hand out review codes, I know that is actually, that's a false statement. Generally, it's false. How do I know that? Because I used to, again, hand out codes, and it's not like people ask me for codes going, if you give me the Xbox code, I don't want it. They'll tell you genuinely when you're asking for a code, they go, hey, here's the codes that we have. You know, we have PC, PlayStation, Xbox. Can't guarantee you one, but list in order which ones which consoles you have, so we can give you a code for one of those things. That's genuinely happened a lot, especially when I'm asking for a review code. So let me talk to you all about the process, because I feel like I'm already tangenting off something else. So when I used to work at PR, the easiest code to generate is a PC code. PC, genuinely, if you're an indie game, is where you are. That's the space. It's cheaper to generate the codes, so you could generate a bunch of Steam codes. But every code and every key costs money. It's not like EA, for example, or let's take a game. Let's just take a game like Jedi Survivor. EA walks up to PlayStation going, we need to generate X amount of codes. That actually costs money to produce those codes, because someone has to generate those codes. And so when it comes to PC, they're genuinely cheaper. Steam's way more forgiving in that aspect to generate codes for. Then if you're an indie game, honestly, if we're talking, you know, man to man here, Nintendo. The Switch is an indie hub. So the next one that we would have on the list would be generally Nintendo, and then PlayStation, close third, and then Xbox. And one of the reasons is the market speaks. So if it is a game like Stray, for example, let's just pretend Stray was on other consoles at this point in time. PlayStation has a deal with Stray. So PlayStation will make sure that there are more codes for Stray on PlayStation than there are on Xbox, because they want you to know about all the cool PlayStation 5 features like the haptics and the DualSense and all the other fancy gizmos that PlayStation throws at you. That's why there's more codes for Jedi Survivor. It's strictly because EA and PlayStation shook hands, made a deal. And so PlayStation gave them, EA a ton of keys to go out there and toss them at people, so that you can talk about how the swooshing felt so much better on your haptics than ever or whatever. How the haptics feel, or how the sound was, or whatever PlayStation 5 feature they're trying to boast. Same goes with Hogwarts Legacy. So Hogwarts Legacy, oddly enough, PC, PlayStation 5 generally is where you're going to get codes for. And why? because PlayStation signs that deal. Now, what if it's a game that is an Xbox deal? Same thing happens. So, spoiler alert, as of right now, the 24th, let me just double check. We have no Diablo code. Now, I know people that have played Diablo 4, who have beaten Diablo 4. They're generally getting keys for Xbox, and they're getting keys for PC. Why? Xbox has that deal with Activision, not just because of the merger or everything like that. Acquisition. They have that deal. They're shaking hands. And, of course, they're going to give Xbox more keys than PlayStation on that game. Generally speaking as well, what PR does is if there is a version of the game that is running hotter on one platform than there is on another, they will give you less codes for that specific platform. So a good example is Jedi Survivor. People on PC were getting codes the day of that game coming out or a few days prior, and there were not as many of them as they thought. Why? Because they knew the game was coming in a little hot. So as you can see, this is a huge topic. It's not easy to cover in 5 minutes or 10 minutes or less. Look at, we're on currently 11 minutes in and we've just gotten started. There's a whole lot of gray space when navigating reviews, and it's not easy for anyone to come in with a butcher's knife and just, or a samurai sword and just try to cut through the middle of it. There's a lot of minutiae to navigate through, right? The word that I love to make up. There's a lot of bullshit to go through. So when I hear people go, yeah, reviewers have already decided 7 or 8. First off, how is 8 a bad score or 8.5 a bad score? How is a 7 a bad score? Like, it's good. We got to really just explore that fucking scale. Nonetheless, I fucking hate the decimal system. And I've talked to no one that has said this. I've talked to a lot of people. Okay, humble brag. I know a few people way smarter than me, way better at their words than I, that review games for a living, and no one talks like currently this game's sitting at, for me, a 7. Like, we joke a lot about it behind doors, right? But just like, no one goes into a game that has a score in their head. You beat it. You talk about the feelings to yourself or other people who have beaten it. You kind of talk your way through it. You think about what your angle of this review going to be, and you write the review. And somewhere along the lines, you're going to find the score of that game. Now, sometimes it comes really fast to you, and sometimes it takes a while. And in the case for IGN, because people love to shit on IGN, why? Because IGN's the biggest thing. It's easy to shit on the known property. It's easy to shit on the thing that seems like it's too big to fail. It's so easy, but there's so many awesome people that work at those places that are the true people you're attacking. So I really hate when people just kind of like slut shame IGN. I get it. It's a big outfit. And because they're so broad, they're not as articulate or like as precise, rather, as they used to be. Like, they don't break the news. But no one... And I'll get to that point in a second. No one at IGN thinks like this. No one. No one I've talked to. No one. And trust me, you know, I talk to people, you know, lower on the totem pole to some higher end folks there. No one talks like that. And I know for a fact they all hate when they see this shit come in of like, oh, here we go. We're getting attacked again. Well, what else is new? You know? And now here's the thing about IGN and GameSpot, quote unquote, pro PlayStation media. I fucking hate that shit. I really do. Because the reason why IGN and GameSpot pulls punches is they do it everywhere. They pull punches with PlayStation. They pull punches with Nintendo. They pull punches with Xbox. They report things secondhand. You know, they'll let sites like VGC or like, you know, PlayStation Lifestyle or even Eurogamer break news first, so then they can, because that gives them a shield when, you know, someone gets upset at them. So the reason why IGN doesn't go for you hardly ever see breaking news out of IGN is because if they're calling someone out, let's just say PlayStation, for example, well, PlayStation might go, you know what? That feature of the month, which IGN relies on, you know, special coverage for a game that's coming out in the next month or two. You know, I think right now it's currently Diablo, if I'm not mistaken, or Final Fantasy, maybe even both. You know, those deals are really lucrative and they rake in a ton of cash. If PlayStation comes out with Last of Us Factions, they'll go, well, you know what? We'll go to Game Informer instead. Because remember, we'll remember that one story that you made of us. Same with Xbox. Do you think they're going to be so cavalier with the next game like Redfall that they give to IGN? No. And I can tell you for a fact, when that gameplay hit and that gameplay was, you know, was not the thing Xbox had wanted them to show, or was it indicative to the frame rate showed, they made IGN take all that shit down. I think that's a common knowledge. I don't think I said anything I shouldn't have. And they did. They obliged. Because they're like, hey, listen, we get it. And they replaced it with 30 FPS stuff. Because just trying to be a good partner. That's it. Again, money talks. So they're not going to break the news of like Phil Spencer kicked a puppy. They're going to wait for VGC to say Phil Spencer kicked a puppy, so that when IGN covers that, you know, that Phil Spencer kicked a puppy, they go, hi, we're IGN. We're reporting that Andy Robinson over at VGC has learned that Phil Spencer has kicked a puppy, as their shield for whatever criticism may come their way afterwards. Because it would be like, hey, listen, just fair game. All love, love and war. So when I hear reviews like this or shit like this, I know it pisses off a lot of people. And again, much love and respect to the Xbox Era crew. Because again, they've shown nothing but kindness to me. You know, even reach out to them and talk to them from time to time. Great folks over there. Great folks. And I get it. I think they're in their feelings. Truthfully. I think they're all in their feelings at the moment because they stood behind their reviewer. And fuck, awesome. That's awesome. Like, fuck yeah. You know, look, it is awful to be the outlier review. I mean, just take a look at Redfall, right? Case here. I think their reviewer, Jesse, reviewed the game in 85. That's the outlier review because most critics said this is about a 5 or a 6. Maybe some 7s in there. Like, I think right now, let's take a look. I don't want to speak out of my ass. Open Critic right now currently stands Redfall 58. All right, so that's a bit off. It sucks being the outlier because I bet Jesse got a ton of shit. But it's awesome for them to stand by their reviewer. That's awesome. They go, no. Call us bought out because we have Xbox in their name. Fuck you, don't care. We stand by our reviewer. We stand by his thoughts. Stand by his opinion here. Yeah, Jesse's a good dude. We're going to back him. Awesome. But then keep that same energy. Don't go and say shit like people have already planned out their reviews. Because you're doing the same thing people have probably already done to you. You got your Xbox in your name. I bet you, I don't know. I bet you're going to give the next Gears game a 9.5. Bet you gave the Ascend a 9. You know, they're going to say crazy shit. So, like, don't spit that venom back. Because I don't think that's a great look. Again, my opinion. But it's awesome that they stood by their reviewer. It's same to The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom. This game, currently, I don't even need to fucking look at it. It's a 97. Guys, it's one of the greatest games I've ever played. It will be part of my top 10 list. I am probably 40 plus hours in. I've only beaten 2 temples. I am thoroughly enjoying my time with Tears of the Kingdom. There is a review out that is literally the outlier. I think it's the only one, the only game or review site to rate this thing lower than a 9, and they rated it a 6. And you could poke as many holes as you want in that game, or in that reviewer, sorry. But that's their opinion. And it's awesome to see the site come and back their boys. Right? Or lady. Yeah. That's it. Like, that's it. So when I see people go, ugh, the game media is biased. Guys, the media is biased. It's simple. I'm going to break it all down. There are more PlayStations than Xboxes. So obviously people, when looking for stories to hit, are going to look for PlayStation-related stories because SEO is important. Guys, guess what? Nintendo Switch is more popular than the Xbox, shockingly enough. So you're going to get articles about Nintendo and PlayStation. And guess what? Xbox is not fucking as big as you think it is. They're small fish compared to these two large giants in the gaming sphere. They are. I'm sorry. Right? Like, I'm going to sound fanboyish here for a second, but let's just get it out of the way. Your console's still getting beat, what, close 2-1? No shit. People are going to look for stories that involve PlayStation because that's where the fucking audience is. And of course, if there's more PlayStations in the marketplace and people request more, games on PlayStation or whatever have you, of course, those PR sites are going to go, yeah, of course we're going to get more PlayStation codes because there's more PlayStations in the market. I feel like sometimes, and this is where, again, I sound fanboyish, but Xbox folks live in this fucking stasis field where, oh, actually the console war is like 51-49. Right? It's like, you know, the US election 2016. It's like razor thin. Or 2020. It's like razor thin. You know? It's somehow fucking Timbuktu is going to have the deciding vote of who wins. It's not like that. Grow up. Not only does it not matter, but it just shows, is there an inherent bias? Yeah. But it's not in the way you think. It's just people, this is their console of choice, but it doesn't pollute their mind going, and we must protect this thing at all costs. No, they're going to find what they can find. Anything that revolves around PlayStation, they will use it. Look at what happened with crossplay. How many times that, you know, Fortnite, Xbox, Nintendo survived together there. Remember that? Remember how many beatings PlayStation took within those months? But they learned and they adapted. And that's what I think a lot of the Xbox fans here don't fucking like, is that when PlayStation gets its punches in, and it does, they're quicker than you fucking realize to fix those things. Look, we were all playing crossplay together by October. Like, of that year. It started in, what, like, April, and then it ended October. We're cross-playing with people. You know? And who do we always talk about? Who's the hero in that? Xbox. Microsoft. Pushed it. That's why we get it. Every time when people talk about online play, who's the one that pioneered it? Xbox. Every time we talk about game subscription services, who pioneered it? Xbox. It's not like we don't give them fucking flowers. We do. We fucking do. I just hate it. It's this Twitter mentality. These people are having arguments with Twitter egg user 69 who just said, PlayStation sucks, you suck, lol, 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 and we're getting offended by it. Like, we gotta knock it off. Stop feeding those people energy, your time, air. And just start making good content. That's it. No. Games media isn't protecting PlayStation with a shield. They aren't. No, I could tell you this for a fucking fact. No one in my travels who has worked at Game Informer, GameSpot, IGN, give a fuck about PlayStation or Xbox. They give a fuck about the people that are making the game. It's all they care about. They're generally nice folk who just want to play games and review them. And no, never have I seen a game go, oh, this is an Xbox platform, I'll go rate it a 7 instead of an 8. Get the fuck out of here. Come on. Stop. Grown men here. We're just normal men. So, yes, I share the frustrations. And I've said this, and I'll continue to say it. I'm not scared to say it. Xbox fans continue to be, man, the most sensitive fan base, because you criticize them once and they're out for fucking blood. It's crazy. I know a lot of PR people that are afraid of even talking anything a hint of negative about Xbox. Scared, because you've seen it, the Go-Go Gadget fucking developers, right? Detective, what was it? Detective Gadget. Fuck, I remember. Go Gadget, go, you know, the fucking. Go, let me see. Go-Go Gadget. Where's that from? I fucking used to love this shit as a kid. Go-Go Gadget. Inspector Gadget. There you go. The Inspector Gadget devs were pressured into making an Xbox game because they were just getting shit on, and they're like, "Well, there must be something here if people are yelling at us about it." It's crazy, guys. It's crazy. And I get it. Again, I get it. Because if you're Xbox 2 and you're an Xbox fan out there, man, it does seem like Xbox can never do it right. Right? Like I definitely understand the feeling of like I get enjoyment out of this. Why can't you guys see the enjoyment in this? Why can't you just fucking give it a chance? I get that. I get that. And I'm trying to stress y'all, it ain't like that. It ain't. It sucks out here. Listen, I know a lot of Xbox guys that even say that. It's like, yo, this community can get fucking nuts. Again, every fan base has its toxic elements. So I want any Xbox viewer or listener listening to this, primarily plays on Xbox, you're one of the good ones. Don't worry, you're in here, you're good. Because, yeah, there's a lot of weirdo, shitty fucking PlayStation fanboys out there, for sure. There's some weirdo Nintendo fanboys out there, for sure. Have you ever mentioned a Switch 2? Some people will tell you, don't worry, this what's going on, like 5, 6, 7-year-old piece of tech is still good. Come on. Jesus. All right, everybody. Listen, Derek Strickland, who is one of the editors, if I'm not mistaken, PR/gaming editor, news and analysis, and games industry finance over at Tweaktown, came and started writing the PlayStation Financials, the business segment. Let's talk about business. Worldwide gaming as a platform. It's growing slowly but surely. Here, look at that. Ooh-wee. Revenue is only billions, billions, millions. I don't fucking know. Look at this. Crazy numbers. What? Last year is 245 million? Okay. To now it's 249 million. So 5.9 is only like a couple million jump there. Cool. Gaming industry size by revenue type. Ooh, physical hardware. Down. Actually, this is a little down by like $2, it seems. $2 billion. Ooh, boy. Is it billions? USD? Okay, whatever. I don't understand any of this mumbo jumbo. Someone's gonna have to talk to me in English about it. PlayStation Plus, great reception of service. Ooh, wow, look at premium subscribers. Okay, here's numbers I can actually see. This is a pie chart, and I'm reading it. It's like a size of like an iPhone, by the way. So I'm fucking squinting like a little fuck. PlayStation Plus, great reception of new service. Premium members, 8 million subs, 17% of all total subs. Extra members, 6.1 subs, 13% of total subs. So though it's become a bit stagnant, they're always going to dance around, you know, 47 to 50 million users. Seems like that premium and extra bit has jumped them up quite a bit. Okay, this is from 3 minutes ago, so now this shit. It's getting here, folks. PlayStation 5 drawing strong growth. Accessories, revenue growth. Ooh, wee, let's talk about it. Let me just cough and mute it for a sec. You got the PlayStation DualSense controller, 29% of their growth in terms of accessories. The Edge, 58%. God bless. Now put a fucking better battery in it. Other peripherals, up 99%. Total 47%. Again, I bet there's someone talking over this that makes it a lot more sense. Revenue seems it's keeping going up. It's keep going up. That's great to hear. But yeah, PS5 slowly but surely becoming the leader in terms of accessories sold. I mean, ever since 2020. You just see it's now just becoming the whole bar. So in the beginning of 2020, PS5 just came out. It's about a third of all accessories for PS5. 2021, two-thirds. 2022, four-fifths. And then 2023, it's like five-sixths of all accessories are DualSense. And also, look at, they talk about the Access controller for PlayStation 5. No longer Project Leonardo. This shit's got a name. This is awesome. Upcoming accessibility focus controller. So it's just talking a little bit about that. Very awesome to see that, you know, the Access controller is becoming a staple in PlayStation's growth. Again, this is all business. They're not doing the shit out of the kindness of their heart. But because it's business, they get to make money and they get to affect positive change. And I bet that's just a win-win for them. They're like, oh, good PR and we get to make money on this? Sure. All right. So let's take a look at PSVR 2. This is from 4 minutes ago. Let's take a look at this. Okay, so they're talking about the reviews. Look at that. Everybody loves it. They're saying, okay, here's a good PSVR 2 performing above PSVR. This is interesting. PSVR 2 is 8%+ versus PSVR in just 6 weeks of launch. And more to come. You got Ghostbusters, you got Beat Saber, Crossfire, Sierra Squad, Resident Evil 4, Synapse, which looks fucking great, Foglands, Green Hell, and Behemoth. And that is, yeah, that's all looking pretty, it's all looking pretty good. I can't wait for Beat Saber. Okay. A little prediction, and by the time you listen to this, you're like, Jerry, you're fucking wrong. We're going to get most of these games talked about here. So Beat Saber, Resident Evil 4, I think we're going to get Half-Life Alyx. I think you're going to get like a good 5 to 7 minute chunk of PSVR 2. And I think when people hear that, they're like, oh, no, this is the part I'm going to turn out. I am. It's like, shut the fuck up. Anyway, this showcase is good, but like the 7 minutes they talk about the peripheral that, you know, they're trying to push to the masses, I don't fucking like it. Oh, shit. I don't fucking like it at all. Some beats say, I'm excited for that. Anything else, Derek Strickland? Interesting, though, to talk about. Let me just see. Ba-ba-da-ba-da. I like Derek Strickland. So go at Deek Tweek. DEEKE, capitalized TWEAK. Good folk over there. Here's an interesting thing. I know this is becoming the trophy room, but just with me. I'm sorry, Kyle. Don't worry, we're going to talk about this. It's going to be great. Kyle's going to do great. Can everybody give love to Kyle? I fucking hate when he beats up on himself. Let me tell you something. Real talk. Fucking interview we did. I'm saying fuck a lot. Oh, shit. Oh, boy. He nailed. He was so good. He's so good at it. He's just so freaking good at it. I've been cussing too much. Oh, wait, no, this isn't it. What was it? It was a Game Rant. Actually, I know Dustin Legere. Let's see. Dustin. All right. I know he tweeted out about it. Let's see. Oh, it's a Dustin quote. Listen, Dustin does what he does. All right. I genuinely do actually like when he talks, though. I know it comes from an Xbox bias, and I get to sit there going, huh, a different opinion than mine. Interesting. Do tell. Do explain. And I get excited. Because I like video games. Alright, Game Rant reports Sony reportedly plans to raise additional funds to strengthen its position in the gaming industry to acquire more studios for PlayStation. So, Destin's guess is Square Enix and From Software. Of course, Destin doesn't. No, I don't fucking know. But there has been talks of Sony to buy Square in the past. Those talks have happened. Okay, you know what? Let's turn this into the trophy room, Junior. Okay, just you and me. Let's not tell Kyle about this. Okay, please, just you, me, and this article. Sony is reportedly planning to bolster its PlayStation division further by acquiring more studios. Sony has been on the acquisition spree over the past 2 years and seemingly looking to buy more studios to boost its position in the global gaming market. There has been visible moves towards consolidation in the industry, considering high-profile acquisitions that were completed recently. For instance, Xbox has acquired... Oh, God. An ad pops up. Oh, thanks, bud. What was this one? This is a... I'm really hyper because I'm really excited about the show. Okay. Discover commercial. I fell for it. I'm never going to go to Discovery. I discovered that I don't like you. All right. Xbox acquired ZeniMax and a number of other studios, with Sony following suit, acquiring five studios in 2021 alone. However, the Japanese tech giant's significant acquisition came in 2022 when Sony acquired Destiny 2, the former Halo developer, for $3.6 billion. Now, the conglomerate is looking to reinforce its position globally by allocating more funds for more acquisitions. As reported by the Financial Times, Sony is considering, now here's where shit gets interesting, is considering a partial spinoff for its financial businesses to focus its entertainment and image sensor offerings. For those unaware, a partial spinoff is where a parent company decides to publicly list a subsidiary but retains a minor stake in it, usually to raise more capital. Sony President Hiroki Totoki addressed this at a news conference and said, "In order to expand our growth over the medium to long term, we will need the ability to invest in image sensors and the entertainment business at a completely new level." This has actually been floated around quite a bit, and now to hear him say that is interesting. So Sony is going to pretty much take the businesses that do well and make them wholly separate businesses. But again, putting into layman's terms, but they're going to have a stake in each one of those companies, so it retains that Sony DNA, right? So it's pretty much PlayStation becoming its own thing, still having Sony there, but it's more like a guardian rather than a parent, right? You're still going off to school doing your own things with your friends, but you're still reporting back to Pa. They're doing this, and as Creative Cloud yells at me that there's been four updates, maybe it's where you lost the file to the last after show, bud. Why am I saying bud a lot? I'm sorry. I say this because what's going to end up happening is going, hey, PlayStation, we're listing it as a publicly traded company, and we're going to try to get capital out of this. So people are going to throw money at us, and we're going to use that money from those shares to go out there and make bigger purchases. So growing the company further and further so it could focus on just being a great fucking video game company. It doesn't have to share, you know, acquisition budgets with other companies within the conglomerate that is PlayStation. So theoretically, they could go out there, take this bunch of fucking money that investors have invested in, and they got some walking around money to do some, well, what they think is some real damage. Why? Here's my Tucker Carlson voice. Why would they do that? Why would Sony spin off a company to do their own thing? Why would they do that? It's because they like money? Yes. And the answer is right in front of you, right in front of your eyes. The answer is yes. Sorry. How is it appropriate? I like the Tucker voice. I don't know. The man, here's the thing. The man asks questions like a you know? I hope that bleated it out, but he really is. You know? It's just like, he always comes out squirrelish. God, I hate that dude. All right, anyway. So why? Because Sony knows. Sony knows what's coming. They know what is around the corner, and they have to be in front of it. Look, whatever happens with this Activision deal, though I don't think this goes through, I'll be real, all comes down to the FTC, but right now, it's not the win you think it is. PlayStation knows Microsoft won't be done, and it needs to ready and be in the best position possible to brace for it. So how do you do that if I'm PlayStation? How do I brace for impact? Simple. I go out there to the partners that I already have great relationships and buy them. Take great IP that we know sells, we know that have traction, acquire them. Make them the deals you can't refuse. Whether that is the bigger publisher or a bigger-ish publisher, whether that is talent that you want to make sure is tied to you, like, so that the ones that get away, like From Software, don't. PlayStation knows that the future is going to be all about these IP. It's going to all be about these subscription services. They want to be, and they want to make sure that they are ahead of the game, because Microsoft will be if they don't. So, okay. Does this mean PlayStation's buying EA now? Does this mean PlayStation's buying 2K? Absolutely not. Does this mean that PlayStation's buying Ubisoft? No. Let's take out the headcount. PlayStation employee count. Let's take it. And you know what? Maybe it'd be great if I had the mouse on here. Ubisoft headcount. Ubisoft said to total, and where's this? Let me see. Jesus Christ. This number is so fucking outrageous. It can't be true. I Googled it. This is the first response. Oh my God. What? 21 they have right from Ubisoft. 21,000 employees work at Ubisoft. Okay. Let's take a look at PlayStation. Jesus Christ. Nothing here. Let me see headcount. 5,000 to 10,000 employees. Yeah, Ubisoft, there is going to be... It worries me. I don't say it gleefully. There's going to be a mass layoff eventually here. That's fucking nuts. That's the size of my town works at Ubisoft. What did they put out this year? Wasn't the pirate game supposed to be here? Skull and Bones? Who fucking knows at this point? Wow, that's a lot. So Ubisoft right now. I think if you're PlayStation, and here's where we get crazy. I think if you're PlayStation, you're looking at medium-sized things. Okay. So for example, people are like, oh, they'll never get rid of From Software, Kotakawa. PlayStation and Kotakawa have a really close relationship. They actually have a strategic alliance. So I don't think From Software gets sold. I think they're going to be working much more closely with From Software. But hey, listen, From Software is a great get, because this is a company that just released one of the greatest games ever made last year, and now this year is coming out with another game, right? Like, it seems like every year they put out a fucking stellar video game or stellar DLC, because I definitely think we're getting Elden Ring shit at a PlayStation Showcase. So, like, that would be a great studio to pick up. And honestly, they're worth all the money. Give them to me. If From Software was suddenly PlayStation bought and owned, console war over, guys. Remember what I was talking about earlier? It's over, guys. Put down the arms. They lost. Xbox fought the good fight. They tried their best, but you got the greatest developer ever made. And then Dustin's guess for the next one, Square Enix. I think Square Enix makes a lot of sense. It really does. But they're also a very weird company that needs a lot of work. And the thing that gets me, and I think we talked about it on the Trophy Room, but I think I'm about to articulate the best here. All this scares me. Not because one day I'm not going to see a From Software like image on a box. It means that PlayStation inherently changes. We never think about that. And why is that? I kind of feel like a little Joker tinge to the Carl. You notice that? Let's put a smile on that face. We're having tryouts. What's the other line you guys? Let me do it in a Tucker voice. Ready? Killing's about making a choice. Is it a good choice? Is it a moral choice? About taking one life or the next? Who's to say? Fox News casted me out like a leper. Oh, I think I just made the best after show. I wish Kyle was here. He usually curbs my craziness. Oh my God. Would you like to see a magic trick? Oh God. I heard what. No, I can't. All right, let's carry on. It's been a while since I did a Joker voice. Yeah, it's been a minute. Now I just found out it just evolved into Tucker. All right. What scares me is that PlayStation changes. That's where I was going. PlayStation inherently changes here. The culture changes when you add someone new. That's why what I've loved about these acquisitions that PlayStation has made is they're building those studios up with them, which means PlayStation's culture gets fused into these companies. Not the other way around. When you're buying a big fucking thing like Square Enix, that is a totally different company, different structure, different fucking culture. You still got NFT bros in there. There's a lot of yuck there, right? A lot of shit to fix, or just not yuck. A lot of things that are way different than over here at PlayStation. Are you going to do what the Xbox does? Or just like, Bethesda, go do your thing. But don't worry, we'll handle Activision Blizzard. Like, that's the issue. That's the problem. It's like, those cultures are going to clash, no matter how friendly you are with each other. And even when it comes to Square Enix, like, their games are not, and I'm going to say it, I'm going to be fucking wild here, okay? I get it. Listen, Ben Starr, great dude. Final Fantasy 16 looks fucking stellar, and I'm excited. So, you know, Square Enix games don't have that level of quality that PlayStation does. None. They don't. They don't. For every Final Fantasy 16, you get a Forspoken. And I think that's what people are so, you know, that's what people forget. It's like, I don't want PlayStation to lose its DNA just to get a score one for PlayStation and for Xbox. I don't want that. I don't. I get what a lot of people are like, why buy the cow when you get the milk for free? I'm like, all right, weirdo. Let's really think about why that analogy is used. It's not like that. It's, again, this one makes the most sense because they're so friendly with each other, because they work so well with each other, that it's now securing Final Fantasy for a lifetime. And that's important to them. But how important is everything else outside of a Final Fantasy to PlayStation? And that's why Square doesn't make that much sense. Now, maybe for the MMO front? Sure. But I don't know. I really don't. So, like, Square seems nice and it makes sense on paper, but there's other wild, wacky, and crazy ones that don't sound like they make sense, but I think make more sense than you realize. I think one of those people's CD Projekt. I'm so convinced. PlayStation needs a Western RPG akin to a Fallout, akin to an Elder Scrolls. They don't have that. I've seen a lot of PlayStation podcasts, PlayStation creators go, well, they kind of do with Horizon. Horizon's a great get, don't get me wrong. And it is an RPG. But they need more of those. We can't just be Horizon every, 5 years? No, you need something else in there. And I don't care what anybody says. God of War, just because they have elements of RPGs in their games, no, I want a fucking RPG. And I want PlayStation to secure that for me as a PlayStation gamer. That's what I would want. That's what I think is important. If I'm PlayStation, I'm looking at this whole pie here and going, okay, so we're doing our live service thing. We got Bungie to be the core engine here. Now what are the other things that we're missing? And we know that PlayStation's not in the business of smaller studios, quote unquote. They want the big ones that are working on a lot. So I think CD Projekt, I think Remedy especially, makes a lot of sense for PlayStation. A lot of sense. And then I do think, you know, things like From Software do come into play. Kodokawa is an anime and toy house in Japan. I could see a future where they go, yeah, From Software, you go. I could see that. If the price is right, abso-fucking-lutely. You know? Jeez Louise. All right. Let's see. Anything else from Mr. Derek Strickland? We almost went on an hour rant about reviews. Acquisition seasons. Free, what is this? We are in free supply in all geographies. Oh, this comes from PlayStation 5's performance. Dude, it's doing fucking well. It's doing really fucking well. Ooh, here's the thing. PlayStation 5 has seen the strongest releases in any of the generations. Oh, wow. Okay. Okay. Wow, they're really pushing third-party stuff. So, the next... Ooh, it's Silent Hill, Suicide Squad. So, they talk about amazing catalog, more to come. Spider-Man 2, Wolverine is there in this pie chart. Avatar Frontiers of Pandora, Tekken 8, Final Fantasy 16, Street Fighter 6, Crash Team Racing, Baldur's Gate, Silent Hill, I think it's remake, and Suicide Squad. Cool. So we know that they're working on stuff. And ooh, PlayStation 5 expected to beat all PlayStation 4 performance levels throughout the fiscal year of 2023. Ooh, yeah. And it's not even, like, it's by a lot. They're very bullish here. Holy shit. Yeah, I mean, except for, like, gameplay hours, I think. Yeah, you're seeing that tick up. That's huge. That's really huge. Bungie is one of the leading developers and publishers to the live service world today. We are fully engaged in applying their experience to our live service efforts. Wow, they're really making... Here's the thing. This is fucking nuts. PlayStation's really pushing out Bungie of being, like... They're actually our equal here. like it's they really meant it when they're like, listen, they're not a PlayStation first party studio. They are as important as we are. Like, that's fucking crazy. Holy shit. Okay, let me see. Live service, expand. Oh wow, this is good. This is, I think, like an episode for next week, you know? PlayStation Studios Central Experience. So it's pretty much you're like, hey, listen, we're gonna take Bungie people and put them in PlayStation places, it seems like, for me. Ah, here's the thing. Sony is investing 50% of PlayStation Studios' investment into new IP. Holt says, this is an investment that we feel will give a significant returns in the second half of this decade. Ooh-wowee. Yeah, existing. And they're showing you 2019, 80-20. 2023. 60-40. By 2025, it's going to be half new IP, half existing IP that we know. It's what makes PlayStation fucking cool, dude. That's why I love it here. You know? I like that. Keep it going. Live service games. There you go. So they're looking at this. Add-ons, subscriptions. They're taking a look at this. This is me just glancing. Monetization and portfolio delivery. More diverse first-party portfolio. Live service game catalog. Destiny 2. Okay, this is... Wow, this is really important here, guys. Okay, have you seen this? Have you heard about this? So they say, single-player catalog, God of War, Horizon, Ratchet & Clank, Spider-Man, Last of Us, Part 2, Uncharted, Returnal, Ghost of Tsushima, Death Stranding. Live service game catalog. Destiny 2, MLB The Show, Haven, wait for it, Naughty Dog... Wait for it, Firewalk Studios, and then Guerrilla. So, that Horizon game that we saw a few weeks or months at this point back, Naughty Dog game is the Last of Us game, and Firewalk Studios. Awesome. Portfolio, release cadence, and optimized publishing capabilities and off and on console, scaling business profitability. Holy shit. Sony confirms recognition of Destiny 2 revenues more than doubled their earnings on PC. So the ongoing growth to be sustained by PC titles beyond 2022. Now they're talking about the mobile strategy. Let's just skip on over there. And then evolving shape of first party portfolio, significant growth. Now you're just seeing me how I actually do the news and how I look at everything. And how I prepare the trophy room. Evolving the shape of first-party portfolio. Significant growth of PC, mobile, and title ratios within our portfolio. It's just a pie chart showing PlayStation is still going to be the central hub of the PlayStation ecosystem, no doubt. Future growth pillars. Cross-platform enabled live services that are core to connecting PlayStation to mobile and PC. We will focus more on cost saving and profit generation in coming years to come. Okay, this is it right here. Ready for it? Have you seen this? Have you heard about this? Growth pillars. Important. We talked about, they got rid of, you know, Jesus. One of their first party indie studios, Pixel Opus, long day of work. And they talk about their growth pillars. First, the biggest, let's go with the biggest pillar, IP, Blue Point, Valkyrie Entertainment. Dude, we're getting Helldivers 2 tomorrow. Fire Sprite, Housemarque. God bless you. I love you. That's the Housemarque. And Blue Point. And Valkyrie. And Fire Sprite. Live Services. Bungie, Haven. Acelabyte. Ooh, that's a new name. Firewalk. Competitive Gaming. Repeat. And what is this? Evo. There you go. The screen's so small. I know I'm not good at reading. This screen's fucking terrible, though, okay? PS Plus, Accessories, Social, Discord. All right? That's what they noted under Social. So they want to grow Discord with them. That's cute. Transmedia. And then last but not leastly, Indies. And they quote Devolver as a big partner, as their partner. Again, it goes to show. We're going to talk about this next week, and this is going to be a talking point, whatever. Devolver equals whatever the fuck PlayStation was doing on the smaller scale. They're not interested in the small scale anymore. Why? Because they know that people do it better, Devolver. So let's partner with them. Let's infuse them with cash. And what do we do fucking great? Big AAA IP. So let's get Blue Point pumping games out there. Let's get Valkyrie Entertainment out there working on Helldivers. Let's get Fire Sprite out there. Let's get Housemarque. Like, makes sense. And then, of course, on the other circle, a beyond the console audience, mobile with Savage Studios and PC with Nixus. They also say that half of the PlayStation, more than half of SIE games will be available on PC by 2025. Get fucking used to it, y'all. Yeah. Yeah. So, very interesting stuff here. Very interesting. You're seeing how, again, synergistic they are all trying to be here. There's a lot here that is going to be, I think, not in this week's show, but probably next week's show. Because there's a lot here. A tremendous amount of news to be talked about. This is really interesting stuff. And I think it's exciting, too. But, hey, that's just me. This has been close to an hour after show where I've been on tangents. Let me know how you enjoyed them if you did, bud. With all that said, with all that out of the way, everybody, keep your wits about you. Keep hunting. Keep playing PlayStation. We will be here next week, or this week, actually, after the show. Okay, love you. Bye-bye.